Yes, that was the so-called punishment.
Curse.
Literally speaking, if you reread it and you move yourself back about 500 years, 1,000 years, 4,000 years, and read it as a woman, do you see that as a really curse? That child giving is painful. That's a natural thing. That is one of the greatest pain a human can ever experience. That's what I heard. And as a man, I can only use my imagination. Also, back in the ancient days, husband ruling wife, was that something that was considered as a curse?
It was the order of the day.
Yes. So if you read it literally, even if literally, if you actually move time back to even 200 years ago, it is somewhat a general statement of how woman lives versus making it worse than it was. So, but I don't really want to read it literally, and I really don't want to see it as God is really cursing either the snake or the woman or the man. So I have been suggesting that my understanding and interpretation of this story is about us and the three layers or three degrees of the mind that we have, but that constitute human. So we have instincts that's symbolized by the snake. We have emotions, which is lovely things, actually, but also which gives us all kind of problems. Emotions. That's symbolized by the woman. And we have capacity to rise above our instinct and emotions and somehow manage and tame them. And also, we have a capacity to actually examine oneself and see what is actually good and what is not good within oneself, and make oneself to be more image of God. That is called as rationality by Swedenborg. His definition of rationality is quite different from the simple general understanding of rationality. That's why I'm emphasizing that. And this rationality is symbolized by the man. So the story before, I'm just repeating a little bit so that you have a little context. When the woman was eating the fruit, where was the man? Man was somehow absent. Can you actually imagine that? There are only man and woman, and he's not there somehow, conveniently, so that she could be deceived by the snake. This symbolizes when our instinct is the leading force, and it is somehow fueling our emotions to desire, to be hungry, or to be thirst for something. Somehow our rational capacity becomes absent. So it becomes kind of upside down order according to Swedenborg. But that's why the snake, I kind of talked about snake last Sunday. And this is about the woman, our emotions. We all have emotions, right? And to a degree, in my self-examination, to a deep degree, most of feelings that I felt, I'm hurt, I need something, you should do me something good, all these are from somehow emotions that are from my selfish or self-centered desire. And a lot of times, I use my rationality to justify that. And afterward, I used that vehicle to actually accuse and criticize others, not fulfilling my expectation of them. And that was kind of, that's the pretty bottom. Because when you reach that, you're not happy. And people around you are not happy with you either. So, how do I manage that? Was actually my biggest question when I was probably 21. Because I felt huge fire of anger and also huge, like a deep black hole of vanity in me at the same time. In a way, Freud was correct to me that there are two strongest desires that each human has is, interestingly, one is to live and one is to destroy. Like you have a strong desire for life, but at the same time, somehow, you have a strong desire for death or kind of non-existence. So, my emotions were around that, and that was the biggest thing for me when I was 21. And the challenge was the rationality that I had was more used to justify why I am angry or why my life is so miserable. And then it was thorny toward outside that mom's part of this, dad's part of that, grandparents and uncles, and all goes outward like this and never acknowledge that actually the one who's creating this very miserable reality within me was actually me. And there was a lot of expectations that somehow I was pouring out toward outside. And of course, was never really met. And the reality and the truth is, they don't exist to make me happy. And the deeper truth was that, well, actually, this world and this life is not really about me either. I'm just a part of, on Earth, let's say 6.5 billion at the time. Now it's 7 billion. Right? I'm one out of 7 billion human on Earth. And I could exist with the big meaning, but also could exist just like a leaf on a tree that is green and fully alive in the spring and autumn, it just falls down and goes back to the earth. So that process to me was somehow this emotional, fully emotional side that was making myself very miserable and angry being. And through that inner acknowledgement that I was actually creating and fueling that. And from that to, now how do I undo this? Right? Undoing it was very challenging. Because all the reasonings and all the justifications I have made sounded right to me. So I was challenged by myself that why should I say no to these right statements. And I felt also like I had right to be miserable. And I felt like, you know, I was the victim of this whole situation and the family and blah, blah, blah. And that sounded also right. So the struggle against myself was initiated when I was 21. I think it ended when I was about 30 or 31. So it took me about 10 years. I call that the longest and darkest, but also hardest time of inner struggle. And Swedenborg really helped me a lot. He came in when I was probably 24, 25, and with all his teachings, and especially about spiritual temptation. So the symbolic understanding of this female woman, the increased pain of giving birth to children, it is about accepting the truth into my emotionally charged mind. More I am charged with my own emotions and justifications for it, harder and more painful it becomes to actually accept the truth. Because the truth will actually shatter the reality or the truth, so-called truth that I believe to be right. So it was going to destroy what I felt like supporting myself and my identity. And the truth was going to come in and actually destroy that. So it was hard. And it is hard. And desire for the husband and ruled by husband in a very symbolic way, it's not literal at all, symbolic way, means that we actually want to use rationality to justify what we desire. But the right way is we actually let rationality come into us and, in a way, make a self-examination and let it guide us, let it lead us. In an ancient way of saying, rule. Because rationality, in Swedenborg's word, is the God-given ability for us that makes us to be truly human. And that's the power and that's the force that we have, that we can actually tame all our desires from our instinct and all our dramas and all these waves that is in our emotions. And being rational in that context to me is equal to be being calm and being cool, but also being humble. One who is truly rational cannot say, I know more than you do, because that's not being rational. Or can say against God that, hey, I'm in charge, or I got this, because you know that you haven't gotten it yet. So in a way, that's why Jesus is saying all things in parable. And there are many phrases in Bible that's saying, those who can hear it, hear it. Those who has an ear to listen, listen. Well, of course it's not literal, because we all have ears, and exception of a few who are disabled, we can all hear it. But it doesn't mean that. The ones who have rational and let the rational capacity lead oneself can fully understand what God, what the Lord is actually teaching. Why? Because that person's mind is capable of receiving the truth and living by it. And very sadly, it is a painful process. And that's why it is very painful. The pain is emphasized in this story. So may you be blessed in your journey and your willingness and your continued cultivation to get closer to God, to be a better person, and also your willingness to not to give up.